every Arizona homeowner's best friend.
And it all has to do with you.
Thanks for tuning in.
It's Rosie on the House, your weekend wake-up tradition.
Good morning, everybody, and welcome to Rosie on the House. This hour, our outdoor living hour, we always talk about the things going on between your home and the edge of your property. Your garden, your lawn, your hedges, your trees. This morning we have special guest in, Mr. Greg Peterson, the Urban Farm. Greg, thanks for coming in, my friend.
Oh, my gosh, absolutely. I love being here.
Gosh, what a great time of year. There's nothing like fall. Let me just give all Arizona homeowners a heads up. If you haven't taken a trip north to take in the fall colors, I will tell you, I was hiking Humphrey's Peak on Monday. And if you haven't gone, you're going to miss it really soon. Above 10,000 feet. The trees were bare, but at the Snow Bowl, the scenic gondola runs today and tomorrow before they shut it down for the winter. So the drive up Snow Bowl Road is gorgeous. Once you get to about 10,000 feet, it gets a little bare. But if you want to see the fall colors and you want to see it easily, a drive up to Snow Bowl and a ride in that scenic gondola is a great way to do it. They close tomorrow. So you have this weekend to get up there and kind of drink in all those fall colors. We're here with Greg Peterson of the Urban Farm. And before we dive in today's topic, Greg, I'd like to just rewind a little bit and talk about the Urban Farm. And can you give me like a 2-minute elevator speech on the Urban Farm?
I don't know that I could do 2 minutes.
I know.
It's more like 2 hours.
That's why I said two minutes.
2 minutes. There you go.
Because we got to get to the topic.
Okay, cool. Well, so my Urban Farm, it's near the studio here. I'm near 16th Street and Bethany Home. It's a quarter of an acre that's 80 feet wide by 160 feet deep. And I moved in there 32 years ago. That's over half of my life ago. That's kind of... you know, mind-blowing that I've been there over half my life. And in 1991, I discovered something called permaculture. Permaculture, I like to call the art and science of working with nature. It's a design methodology to work in the flow of nature. And so I, back then, created my yard into an edible landscape, an edible orchard, you know, and basically everything is edible or it supports edible in the space. And I open it up periodically. We'll be opening it up again in the spring for tours. We do tours. And it's really a place to inspire people to look differently at their landscape and not just grow oleanders and grass. You know, it doesn't make sense to me to plant things in your yard that you can't eat.
You've converted me.
Nice.
Years ago, there's just no sense in watering it, caring for it, weeding it, fertilizing it, trimming it, hedging it, if you can't eat it.
That's right. Especially in a mega drought. You know, we're in this drought that people aren't paying attention to. And, you know, if you're going to be putting water on your yard, get something for it.
Amen. And you have a particular vision statement about local sustainability.
Yeah. About 15 years ago, I created this vision called 10,000 Urban Farms in Phoenix. And really what it is it's a conversation about re-looking at our landscape and enrolling at least 10,000 people in growing food in their yard. It's simple to grow food here. It's hard if you come from someplace else and just try to go like grow like you do in Washington or Minnesota.
Right.
So that's what the Urban Farm is about. The Urban Farm is about teaching people strategies in the desert on how to grow food. And it's easy to grow food here once you know the rules.
It really is. It did take a little practice, but...
It does. But that's, well, you know,
once
life.
Once you've got it dialed in.
Right.
And if you're going to spend the time building and enabling your soil to produce the kind of food you want.
Yep.
I'd much rather spend my time doing that than worrying about blooming oleanders.
Right. Yeah, exactly. Exactly. One of the things I did, I went back to school late in life. I got my bachelor's and master's degree in my 40s. And when I went back to ASU as a bachelor for my bachelor's degree in 2001, I started farming my front yard. So once a week and early in the morning on Wednesday, I'd go out and I'd harvest everything in my yard and I'd take it to the farmer's market. And I'd make $200 or $300 a week. And anything I had left over, a friend of mine owned a restaurant. So I took the rest to her and she fed me lunch. And so I had, you know, a couple, $300 a week cash that I just, you know, harvested out of my yard, literally.
Love it.
It's simple. It's really that simple. So that's the basis for my passion is let's get us fed.
And today, this week in particular, we were going to focus on one of the C's of Arizona. You know, they're up to 7 C's now.
Oh, really? I only know 5. What are the other 2?
Well, they've added cacti.
Oh, that makes sense.
And canyons.
Oh, very good.
So on top of the longstanding 5 C's, Arizona now is a 7 C.
Oh.
But citrus still holds its place.
Oh, it does. It does. And, you know, the big thing I love about citrus, and there's this book out there called Oranges by John McPhee. He wrote it in 1966. It's really a history of citrus on the planet.
On the planet?
On the planet, all worldwide. And he actually found in Europe a citrus tree that lived to 479 years old.
Ooh.
I have 2 citrus trees, 2 Arizona sweets in my backyard that are over 100 years old.
Okay.
This is one of the things I so love about citrus. If you treat it right, if you fertilize it right, and we'll talk about that in a little while, but if you do everything to support and nurture your tree, they will outlast you.
Who tended that 400-year-old citrus tree?
I think he found it in one of the castles. So I can't remember. It's been so long ago that I read the book. But
so your 100-year-old trees are still producing?
They are.
Wow.
Absolutely. I live in an old citrus orchard. In fact, this whole area where the studio sits was a massive citrus orchard. In fact, they used to run a train to move the citrus from this area downtown Phoenix to downtown Phoenix.
Now, what would that citrus have been? What your 100-year-old tree, what is it producing?
It produces Arizona sweets.
Okay.
And it seems to me, From what I've seen over the past 40 years of citrus orchards here in town, they produce 2 main kinds of citrus, the Arizona sweet orange and a white grapefruit, you know, that kind of tart white grapefruit, because that's what most people have in their yard. And that sets them up to think, oh my gosh, why should I grow more citrus if those are the only 2 I can grow? And the beautiful thing is that there are literally dozens of different varieties of citrus that we can grow here.
Now, on your modest lot, urban farm, how many citrus trees do you have?
I have about 20 citrus trees on my property.
And that's how big of an acre?
About a quarter of an acre, about 13,000 square feet. Yeah.
Let me ask you how you get rid of those. I mean, you don't eat all those yourself, right? Or do you?
The citrus, I do.
Oh, wow.
That's the beautiful thing about citrus.
Because you always see the little dollar bags out in front of people's houses because they're like,
I consume a lot of citrus, because the cool thing about citrus is that, or one of the cool things about citrus is that it starts ripening here in about 2 or 3 weeks. I'll be able to start pulling citrus off of my navel oranges. So right about mid-November, I start harvesting navel oranges, and they stay on the tree for 2 months. I eat 2 to 3 to 4 to 5 citrus oranges a day.
Wow.
Yeah, well, I just go out in the yard and I harvest them. You know, I take my pocket knife out and I harvest them and just eat them while I'm standing in the yard. So I get about 2 months out of my navel oranges, and then I get about 2 months out of my Trovita oranges and my Mineola Tangelos. So I have about 4 months of citrus that I get. Then the Arizona sweets come in. Arizona sweets are primarily good for squeezing. So we have the juice from them, and lemons come, you know, late into the spring. So I get about 5 months of citrus harvest, and I have planted strategically in my yard so that I plant what I love. In fact, I get this question a lot. What should I grow? We should grow what you love.
Right.
Right?
Well, the great thing about citrus is the tree is the pantry, as opposed to a peach tree. It's not going to keep your peaches.
That's true.
Man, when they're right, you got to get in there and grab them right now.
Exactly.
But in citrus, the tree's the pantry. It just yep. You stay there till you're ready to grab one.
Exactly. But you can also like squeeze and juice them and then freeze them.
Yep.
All kinds of ways, because then you don't have to pay $1 a piece for them in off season at the grocery store.
Right.
So listening to Greg all these years, I believe that's called successive ripening.
Yes, that's exactly what it's called. It's called successive ripening. We do it with peaches. We do it with apricots. We do it with citrus. And basically what it means, so the simplest example, Gary, is
yes.
The peach trees in my front yard. I have a mid-May peach, a beginning June peach, a mid-June peach, and an end of June peach. And, you know, we get about 2 weeks off of peaches. You know, off of the tree.
Right.
They last about 2 weeks. That's it.
Yeah.
So back to your pantry thing.
Yeah. Oh, man.
The nice thing about my citrus is I get 2 months.
Yeah. That is pretty handy.
Yeah, it really is.
That peach comes in, baby. You got to, you better cancel whatever you've got and get that tree harvested.
Right. Exactly. Well, and I don't travel in May and June.
Yeah.
I don't travel.
I don't imagine.
You harvest.
I harvest. May and June is about harvesting apricots, peaches, mulberries, apples, and preserving them. Because, you know, once they come off of the tree, boom, you got to eat them or do something with them.
It's hard for us to talk about citrus without generating a lot of phone call questions.
Uh-huh.
If you've got questions about why your citrus is or isn't producing, when to fertilize it, how to care for it, we're going to be covering that all this hour. But you're welcome to give us a ring at 1-888-767-4348 while Greg is here in studio. Don't call at 9 o'clock and ask your orange question, because then you'll just get me. And I can tell you one thing about, is a pomegranate a citrus?
Pomegranates are not citrus, although they're getting ready to ripen now.
Yeah, I can testify to the fact that they're sturdy.
Yes.
Because I've tried to kill the one in my backyard about 8 times. And it will not. Die.
Yeah. I've got one in my backyard I've been trying to get rid of too.
Oh, and it's just, mercy. Yeah. And if I can't kill something, it's sturdy. It's really sturdy.
Right.
More when we get back with Mr. Greg Peterson.